I'll leave it with me.
The rhythm of a well-lived life. When you look at an orchestra, you see that they all need to be in the proper place at the right time in order for the sound to be the sound that is so pleasant to listen to. A while ago, there was a program on the radio where amateur players were asked to become a part of an orchestra. And on the TV, it was a program five or six times that there was a leader that would help them to develop themselves. And as the weeks were growing, you could see and hear that they were in touch with one another more and more. And as they were in touch with one another more and more, the instruments also became beautifully sounded instruments. And it was beautiful. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us the number of our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Words of Moses. What is Moses saying here? "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What is Moses saying here? What is God telling us even today? The Bible says you have to be reminded of the fact that life on this earth will not be forever. And that becomes an important tool in order that we may gain that heart of wisdom. Or in other words, Father, help us to know that this life has an end, so that we will make good and wise and solid decisions. That is what this verse is helping us to understand. As Yelmer said when he spoke on the Lord's Supper, life is not about our jobs. Why? You can lose it today. Life is not about your money. You can lose it today. Life is not about your health. You can lose it today. Life is not about whatever your hands can touch or your eyes can see. They are all temporal. And this is what this verse is trying to help us to understand. Help us, Father, to know that we are a person that one day will be buried. That this life is temporal. That this life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Help us so to have a heart of wisdom. And that is what we want to talk about today. What is the rhythm of your life? What is the rhythm of my life? In many lives, the rhythm is deadlines. In many lives, the rhythm is career. In many lives, and the list goes on. Cars, computers, holidays, back to work, back to school. That is the noise of many people's lives. But what about the life of Christians? What about the rhythm of the life of Christians? Our lives should have the rhythm of grace and truth. That is so important. grace and truth. That should be, among others, the rhythm of our lives. And that is beautiful. If you are able to live by the grace of God, always knowing that God will forgive you if we are passionate in that relationship, what does that give us? That gives us joy. That gives us peace. That gives us peace that goes to the very heart of our being. And when we live our lives with truth, it gives us that life of confidence. And that is so important as we live our lives. We will name a few more, but among others, we need grace and truth in our lives. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 help us to understand these things when he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Beautiful passage. "See then that you walk circumspectly." Do you know what the definition is of the word circumspectly? Circumspectly is a word that has the connotation of tracing out its course. In other words, before you do something, you say, okay, let's go back. Like a chess player. What does a chess player do? In his mind, he is playing the game and he is thinking, if I do this, then what will the other person do? Then if he does this, what can I do to make a better move? And so he thinks 5, 6, 7 turns in advance. That is what the word circumspectly is all about. You trace out the course of what is happening. So in all your decisions, they are based on truth. If I make this choice, what happens next? If I make that choice, what happens next? Let's say you are young and you are looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You need to get to know that boy or that girl in order to know what your future is all about. If you find a girl or a boy that has no respect for his parents, well, you're in for chaos. If you find a boy or a girl that has no respect for the police or for the fire truck, you're in for chaos. Trace out the course of your decisions. And that is what the Apostle Paul helps us to understand. Rumsey, in all things that you are doing, look where it will bring you. Life. Whether it's about your business, whether it's about your health, whatever is going on, you need to trace out the course. That is what the Apostle Paul is helping to understand. You need to have that rhythm in your life. I trace out the course of everything that I am doing. When we slow down to live wisely, we can say it with the words of Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 says this. Very simple. I'm in the right chapter. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God. That is the important element, brothers and sisters, when it comes to our lives, when it comes to grace and truth. He walked with God. And as he walked with God, the decisions that he made were based on grace and on truth. Look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 17, a beautiful passage. Jeremiah chapter 17 says in verse 7 and 8, Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding it. Brothers and sisters, words have meaning. Words have meaning. If you get a telephone call tomorrow morning and it says you won the lottery, or you get a telephone call tomorrow, sorry, you did not win the lottery. Words have meaning. Look at Jeremiah 17 and take that into consideration. Words have meaning. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. The word blessed is a word that means that has to do with your position. The word blessed is not necessarily a word that means that everything in life will always go well, but it helps you to understand your position. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. You know why? Look at verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Words have meaning. He will be like a tree planted by the waters. You've seen them. You have seen places where droughts have been going on for a long time, and what happens to the trees? They get barren. They lose their leaves. Eventually, they will die. What will happen to a tree that stands near the waters? It will grow. It will flourish. It will have leaves. Words have meaning. Which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that riches in the first degree? And will not fear when heat comes. We've said it before, but what do people fear most? The fear of what is being feared. That is what they fear. Life with God has no fear. And you might say, yeah, but you might experience fear sometimes. But God says, if you are planted, if you are rooted, if you are trusting in the Lord, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers. There will be no fear, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious even in the year of drought. We are reminded of the words of Christ, right? What is impossible with man is possible with God. We look at this picture and we say, God, is it really possible? And of course, I say it with a lot of respect, but it is possible. God says it. Does that mean it will be always be perfect? No, because we deal sometimes with the brokenness of life. So yes, we struggle. We all have our times that things go better. We all have our times that things are not going so well. But this is the promise of God. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. How beautiful. And again, as we see, this is not a picture of ease, of a life at ease. This is the picture of a person who has committed himself to the Lord. And in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the hardship, there will be joy. There will be hope. That's part of the rhythm of a well-lived life. Trust in God. Grace and truth. They are so important. And again, its secret is not based on location. Its secret is not based on career. Its position is not based on where you live. Its position is not based on how your wallet is filled with euros or with dollars or whatever it might be. It is all based on, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That's the key. That's the beauty. That's the heart of what we are talking about today. We are living in a culture in which everybody says and everybody screams, you need to add more to your life. You need a new house. You need a new couch. You need a new car. You need a new this or that. It will bring you happiness. But what does it bring people? It does not bring them the happiness that they are looking for. So what can we say? The branches don't need to try harder. They just need to stay rooted. That's all. That's the simple truth. The branches do not need to try harder. They just need to stay rooted. That's it. That's the key. Trust in the Lord. So ask yourself this morning, ask yourself right now, where am I planted? Where am I planted? Are you planted in hurry? Are you planted in your career? Are you planted in your health? Are you planted? Where are you planted this morning? I'm asking myself, I'm asking you, where are you planted? Blessed are those that trust in the Lord. And so we can say, if you are planted near the living waters of God and His presence, you stay strong through every season. We see it in many different places. We see floodings. We see hurricanes. And sometimes, every once in a while, you see a tree and you say, wow, that tree has been there so long. It has taken so much, but it's still there. That is the Christian that trusts in the Lord. Another important element when we think about the rhythm of a well-lived life. In Northern California, there are standing the ancient redwoods. Some are stretching to about 300 feet high, and they have been living for over 2,000 years. From a distance, they look unshakable. Yet, what anchors them is something that you would not expect. Their roots are surprisingly low, often not deeper than 6 feet. Can you imagine? Some are 300 feet high, but the roots are only going 6 feet deep. What's their strength? Their strength does not lie in the depth of their roots, but in the connection. Because if you would look underneath the surface, you will see that all the roots are connected together. And they hold one another up. That is something about the redwoods. They hold one another up. And so their strength reaches out horizontally, weaving and intertwining with those trees that are nearby. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 has the following words. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord cannot be quickly broken. Brothers and sisters, there is a lesson in all of this. There is a lesson in the redwoods that are growing in Northern California. We need to be intertwined together. God said it in the beginning, right? When he made Adam. He looked at Adam and he said, it's not good that he's alone. I will make him a helpmeet. It's the good old story of creation, but it's the good story of today. The rhythm of a well-lived life is living a life together, communal, community, family, fellowship. That's the key. And we know, right? They found it on the day of Pentecost. They had all things in common. They prayed together. They were encouragers together. They had a shared purpose. And that becomes a very important lesson for all of us today. The rhythm of a well-lived, godly life is a life that is lived and shared together. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 helps us to understand at least a part of that communal, of that community. When it says, let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another, and in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider one another. The richest people in this world have never been the people with the greatest wallet. The richest people in this world have never been the ones with the biggest career. The most richest people in this world are the people that have friends. Think of Naomi and Ruth. What did Ruth say to Naomi? Your God is my God. Where you go, I will go. Etc., etc. What do we find when we look at Jonathan and David? Their souls were knit together. The richest people on this world, in this world, are not the ones with the richest, with a richest in material things. The richest people on this world are people with loyal friends. And I say loyal friends. What does that mean? That means someone that will stand beside you, whatever be, whatever may. Even if you make a big mistake, that somebody says, I'm still with you. When you do something that is absolutely wrong, that somebody says, but I am still with you. These are the riches that we all need in this life. Community, communal. And when we look at the church in the New Testament, that is exactly that. They fight together. They grow together. They laugh together. They cry together. They fast together. Etc., etc., etc. Brothers and sisters, are you open for your brother and sister? Even when they sometimes do something that is not right? Are you there for your brothers and your sisters? That's the key question. But that is a part of the rhythm of a well-lived life. Let me share one more. Johann Sebastian Bach, if one understood rhythm, it was Bach. Not only in music, but also in the way that he showed his faith. Did you know something about Sebastian Bach? Before writing a single note, he would mark the top of each manuscript with JJ. What does that mean? Jesu Juva, meaning Jesus, help me. Every manuscript, JJ, Jesus, help me. And when the final note was finished, he penned SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. So when we look at Bach, he started everything with Jesus, and he ended everything with Jesus. He started everything with God, and he finished everything with God. That's the rhythm of a well-lived life. Whatever you do, whatever manuscript you are writing, whatever decision you are making in your life, start with JJ and end with SDG. And everything in between becomes a success. That's the rhythm of a well-lived life. So this morning, let me close with a few questions. Where are you rooted? Are you rooted in the material things of life? Are you rooted by trust in God? That's the key question. Number two, who are the redwoods in your life? We all have phases in life that are too dark, that are too heavy, that are too deep, that we cannot simply handle by ourselves. Who are the redwoods in your life that strengthen you, that pray for you when you simply don't have it? What is the daily rhythm of your life? Is it me? Is it myself? Is it I? Or is it JJ? Jesus, help me. And what is the rhythm? What is the end of the manuscripts of your life? SDG. Sola, soli, Deo, gloria. That's the question. I end with Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Amen. Yes.